May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated.
In April 1863, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, a day of repentance. And he wrote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Can you imagine a proclamation like that today? Doesn't seem to be very much in our national character these days, this notion of a day of fasting and repentance. I don't think it's because we have less to repent of. But we have, somewhere along the line, perhaps, as Lincoln suggested, convinced ourselves of our own self-sufficiency. Convinced ourselves that our sins are in no ways necessary for an official repentance. I understand that even in the Roman Catholic Church, the sacrament of confession is used less and less. Not so much because we are so busy going down on our knees before God in the privacy of our chambers, but because perhaps repentance feels less urgent, less necessary, or maybe just something we want to avoid. I think perhaps part of the challenge for us as Christians is that we associate repentance with feeling guilty. And we don't really like feeling guilty, and we don't know how to stop feeling guilty. So when we talk about repentance, we immediately leap to the idea that what that means is a perpetual state of feeling guilty for our sins, feeling guilty for the things done and left undone, the things that all of us have in our past and in our present, the things that we know all too clearly can get outed and publicized and that we will then be forced to make a public apology for. But I think maybe we are also not accustomed to really making that apology, because in our litigious society, any admission of fault and guilt can lead to a lawsuit. And so we have conditioned ourselves to settle for apologies like, "I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I apologize if anyone was offended." When in fact, what we are called to and what we need is true and genuine repentance. Just as Abraham Lincoln recognized in 1963 in the midst of the Civil War, the deep and profound blessings that we have all experienced should turn our hearts to a recognition, not merely of how lucky we have been, but of our need for repentance for the ways in which we have not lived fully into that holy calling. I noticed today reading the Gospel of Mark, it begins with an announcement. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark is the good news. It does not involve any angels appearing to shepherds. It does not involve a baby in the stable. It does not begin with wise men trekking from who knows where with
rich gifts. It begins with John the Baptist appearing in the wilderness and calling for repentance. The good news begins with repentance. Why? Because repentance is not simply about feeling guilty for what we have done and failed to do. It is about changing our path, about turning into new ways of living that are more consonant and more in keeping with the promise of God, with the good news of salvation, with the way Jesus showed us to live. John, preaching the baptism of repentance, drew quite a crowd. John drew a crowd because they knew that things were not right. They knew that somewhere things had gone astray. They were occupied country. There was injustice and corruption and cruelty everywhere they turned. They knew that something had gone wrong. So John drew them out, and it was the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, because their repentance was met with God's willingness to act. Their repentance opened the door and made the way for the coming of Jesus. The next thing that happens in Mark's gospel is Jesus comes to John and is baptized. Repentance is not about perpetual guilt. It's about forgiveness of sins. Repentance is about acknowledging that things have gone wrong, that we have gotten ourselves onto the wrong path, both as people and as a nation and as a world. Repentance is about realizing that things are not the way they are supposed to be. Repentance is not about continuous condemnation. It is not that when somebody stands up to repent, that gives us permission to condemn them forever and ever and ever because, aha, they have sinned. Repentance is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that our sins are forgiven. The good news is that repentance is an invitation to leave behind what has gone wrong, to reorient ourselves and to walk on a new path, a path made straight by the might of God, a path that we couldn't set out for ourselves through the wilderness, that we couldn't do on our own, but the might of God can. A path where God will lead us the way a shepherd leads his sheep. Repentance is not about guilt. Guilt will spur us, hopefully, to repentance, but repentance is about setting aside the guilt and laying our own brokenness and our own sinfulness before God. It is about acknowledging the ways in which we have fallen short. It is about saying that this is not what I intended, but it is what I did. It is about growing into the future that God has for us. Repentance throughout Israel's history was met by God's grace and forgiveness and love. In the reading from Isaiah today, we start a break. In the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, the prophet lays out the sins of the people in pretty harsh terms and warns them of the suffering that those sins will engender. But beginning on chapter 40, a new prophet raises his voice. Years after the consequences have been lived out, and he speaks the word of God to a people who have repented of their sins and says words of comfort. The sins have been forgiven. A path will be opening up. Repentance opens the space for God's grace, for God's forgiveness, for God's compassion, for God's love for us. It allows us to walk on a new path, a road that seemed impossible before, but now isn't. That's why Advent is a season of repentance. It's not that we want you all to be miserable and downcast and make sure you go around with a sour face while you go through the mall. It's not telling you that you shouldn't enjoy Christmas shopping. It's not telling you that you shouldn't decorate and you shouldn't have parties. It does not mean we should all be morose and grumpy and insist everybody say Merry Christmas, but always starting on December 25th. Advent is a season of repentance because it acknowledges that without repentance, we can't receive the good news of Christmas. Repentance is what opens us up. It's what lets us leave aside the guilt and the anger and the frustration. It's what allows reconciliation to happen. It is what permits us to receive the promise of God, the promise that arrives for us with that child in the manger. Repentance is good news. And maybe if we all got good at it, we could also teach our elected officials in our nation something about it, too. Because if we weren't all so afraid of the guilt and the lawsuits and everything else, then we would be able to come into, and I hope we will, to the season of repentance that is Advent and Lent, not dreading the horrors of having to wallow in our own guilt, but rejoicing in the fact that we get to lay it down, we get to offer it to God, we get to say to one another, we have fallen short, how can we walk better in God's path in the year ahead? Repentance is about acknowledging where we have been and looking forward in hope to God's grace and joy-filled future. Amen.